Hello and welcome to the Grand Cast. Season 3, Episode 7, on Friday, August the 11th, 2017. My guest this evening, Sarah Jean Anderson.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
It's so good to be here. I'm great.
It's so good have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
I like to start out each episode going over the mission statement for the show.
Okay.
Which is the purpose of...
Do you want me to stand up and put my hand over my heart?
No.
Is there any ceremony?
Mm-mm.
I'll take my pants off. Do you want me to at least to take my pants off for it?
Because that hasn't happened before.
Prepared. Go ahead. Just you read it and I'll improvise over here.
Okay. The purpose...
Taking my pants off.
Oh,
and
boy.
They're off.
They are off.
Go on.
Pantsless.
Go on.
The purpose of the Granderson cast is to explore the comedy scene in Granderson Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And then there's two goals for the show. The first is to post one new episode weekly. That one I have not fulfilled this week. It's coming probably tomorrow. And then I think I'm going to try to get this out Sunday ahead of The Nightman Cometh.
That would be spectacular. It's coming up real soon. That's on Monday.
Monday and Saturday.
Monday and Saturday, yes. There's two shows because one of them sold out. So we had to add a show, which I'm really
so glad.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to both.
Are you really going to both?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so now I got to be really good in both of them and not just one of them. I'm excited for that. I can't wait. And I really like that there's like so many people who want to see it. Like who are like, it's always Sunny fans who are like,
yes.
Like, yes, I'm so happy you're doing it. Like that's going to be, it's just going to be like a big, big fanboy party for all of us.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait.
I think a lot of audience singing probably.
I hope so. Yes.
I'm guessing the Saturday show might be a little bit more rowdy than Monday.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Things at the Fuse Box tend to be a little more rowdy because you're allowed to. It's BYOB.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which stands for
get shit-faced all day. That's what it stands for. Just kidding. That's not really what it stands for. Am I not supposed to swear? I'm sorry. I never talked to you about whether I can swear or not.
It's actually rated explicit on iTunes, so you can say fuck.
Oh, it's fucking explicit as fuck.
Shit.
That's good. Okay, shit. I'm happy about that.
Yep.
Ass. Can I say ass?
Asses, yeah. That's on the list.
Okay. But not like a donkey. Like ass.
Oh.
Like a butt.
Ooh.
Is that okay? All right.
Sorry,
Are
Josh.
You still reading the mission? Go ahead. I'm interrupting you. I'm ruining this.
No, you're enhancing
I'm ruining this.
You're
I'm ruining
not.
This.
Oh, no. The second goal is to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content.
Oh, that's fantastic. So just one person?
That's the goal. At least one.
Just one?
If I get one, I'm happy.
Does that mean that so far you don't think you've enhanced one person's day yet with your podcast?
With this episode.
Oh, with this episode.
Well, I mean, me, but that doesn't count.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you.
I'm having a great time.
Oh. Well, I'll check
you
that
let
off.
Me take my pants off, and here we are, and this is, I'm comfortable here.
All right.
I'm comfortable here. Even though I heard this building is haunted as shit.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't experienced it firsthand. I have heard a lot of weird noises.
You have? That was me earlier.
Inexplicable noises.
That was me earlier, though.
Oh.
When I asked you to bring me toilet paper. Do you remember? That was just me.
The scratching at the door was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Panting. That was me. But that's fine. It's no big deal. I'm glad that you hear noises sometimes because it reaffirms my belief that this place is haunted as fuck.
Yeah. Sometimes I hear like running water and I'm not
like
running the water.
Like when you're
taking
a shower?
Oh my gosh. I never
Every
really
time you
put
take
that...
a shower, are you hearing running water?
I didn't do the math on that. Yeah. I'm usually not like awake enough
to
really...
I literally just got the chills. Do you see this?
Those are goosebumps.
Do you see all the hair
yeah.
coming up off my legs because I'm so excited?
Those are goosebumps. That's a lot of leg hair.
You can touch
hair.
It if you want. No, please oh. don't touch it. Never mind.
Oh.
I'm putting it away. That was my leg.
Oh.
I was lifting it and shaking it around because this is the Granderson cast. I like that you call it Granderson cast. Hi, I'm Sarah Jean Anderson.
Local comedian, performer, artist?
Yeah.
Extraordinaire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready to answer?
Okay.
Any question you have. I'm totally ready.
Getting into the interview portion, what is your favorite color?
My favorite color right now is purple. I choose a new favorite color at the beginning of every year.
The calendar year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. January 1st, I pick a new color for the rest of the year just to sort of like to draw inspiration from and to dye my hair.
In the Gregorian calendar?
Gregorian, correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some confusion recently.
No, yeah. Gregorian calendar. I choose new favorite color because I love colors. As an artist, I'm really into colors and color theory. And it's really hard for me to choose a favorite. So I rotate every year to what I'm drawn to. And this year, I'm really drawn to purple. That's why my hair is purple, and it's been this way for a few months. I don't know what my favorite color will be next year. And this is probably the longest response to this little question you've ever gotten. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go to the next one. Go on ahead. You can ask me another one.
Is there a particular shade of purple that you enjoy the most?
I would say the shade of purple I enjoy the most is the bright ultraviolet, very in-your-face purple. Just straight-up ass purple. Like, ass purple.
Ass purple.
Like, if you took off I could show you. I'll point to a spot.
Oh.
Ass purple.
Okay. Yep. That's...
The ladies know what I'm talking about. No, probably not. I just... purple. Purple's my favorite shade of purple. I like lavender, too.
It's a good
but
one.
But no, pure ass purple. It's my favorite. What's your favorite color, incidentally?
Currently also purple.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I said it, too. Yeah.
We're in sync.
God, we have so much... We have so much in common.
If you were in NSYNC, which member would you be?
If I was in NSYNC, when I liked NSYNC, because I've seen them perform twice.
Oh.
I saw NSYNC perform when the year that they first came out, like their first music video. Which one came first? Is it I Want You Back?
I couldn't tell you.
I want you back. I don't remember, but I saw them the first year they came out. And it was a small concert. Like, it was a huge arena, but barely anybody was there. Because everybody was like, who the fuck is NSYNC? Why do we care? Then towards the end of that year, I went and saw them again. And it was crazy packed and hot. And you could just smell puberty everywhere. And I was so excited about this concert starting. I was like, God... I saw him last year. It wasn't that good. What were they going to do this time? And I urinated myself at the NSYNC concert. I want to say it was 1999. I'm not sure if it was 1999.
Hmm.
I'm probably getting my years wrong. But saw a very underwhelming one, then a very overwhelming one.
Huh.
They just rocketed right to success, didn't they?
Yeah, they went viral.
Yeah. My favorite was JC, who was... Just the most uninteresting one. Like, he was very plain. He had a very, very square face. He had a very short-lived, not that great solo career. But he was my favorite for some reason. I really liked his big, stupid face and his stupid eyes. And the way he would sing to me, like, I was stupid. I'm getting too into it now. But if I was in NSYNC, I would probably be... I'd want to be the ugly one, Chris Kirkpatrick, because he was very much an individual. Even if the individual that he was just not that interesting, he was very much an individual. Where I thought like the other dudes in NSYNC were kind of, I don't know. I feel like the ugly one always stands out. And so I would want to be the ugly one that not everybody's really into. Because then you know that, like, the 12-year-old girls who are like, Chris is my favorite. Like, you know that they're down for whatever. Like, they'll be open to these weird-ass dudes in their lives. And they'll embrace that. And, yeah, I'd be Chris Kirkpatrick, who also has a line in an Eminem song. Chris Kirkpatrick, you can get your ass kicked.
Oh, yeah.
Worse than a little limp biscuit bastard. Yeah.
Was that in the two Trailer Park Girls Go Around the Outside song?
Yes.
Guess who's back?
This looks like a job for me. Guess everybody to follow me. Because we need a little controversy. Because it feels so empty without me.
Yeah. That was a good song.
It was a good song. I like Eminem. I like that he's from Michigan and that he has a damn house in Michigan. Like, I like that he's still part of the economy in Michigan, I guess. Like, I like that he's stuck around. I admire that.
Did you watch 8 Mile?
I did watch 8 Mile.
It was really well done.
Smoked a little bit before going to 8 Mile.
PCP? PCP?
Oh, no, not that time. I just did some fucking just
tobacco?
Marijuana. Yeah, just marijuana. Like, but I like that movie.
A jazz cigarette?
I like that movie.
A jazz cigarette?
A jazz cigarette? I've never heard that before, but yeah. A jazz cigarette. Puff a little, go see 8 Mile.
I think that probably has racist origins.
What?
Calling it a jazz cigarette. Now that I think about it.
Well.
This is like pejorative.
When I think about it, I think of if you can picture jazz, like just like this weird sequence of notes and like people dancing. I don't know. It's hard to say, but like I can envision. That and marijuana. I can visualize those the same way. Like
in our context, in our context, it's a great thing. But I think the origination of the term was maybe less favorable.
Oh no. Okay. Well, we're not racist people, so
no.
So I'm hoping nobody will think that we're trying to be racist.
That's a good thing to hope for.
We love everybody.
Do you prefer NSYNC to New Kids on the Block?
No.
Oh.
No. No. Definitely not. Definitely not. New Kids on the Block has my heart. Very much has my heart.
Are they number one or is it Backstreet?
No. No, New Kids on the Block is definitely number one. My favorite was Joey, the very young one. He was always my favorite and he's still my favorite. He's still my favorite to this day. he's been like acting. He's in like some little comedy things and he's like a really good character actor. Like I had no idea. But New Kids on the Block is very special to me because that was my first concert that I ever went to. And I was, you know, I'm like a kid. I'm like 6, 7, probably before that. I was very young. And we go to this concert and I'm so excited because it's my first concert. I don't know, you know, what romance is yet, but I feel that between me and Joey, even though, you know, I didn't know what the hell it meant. And so we get to this concert. I'm so nervous. The opening act happens. New Kids on the Block is about to come on stage. And I throw up.
Oh, no.
All over the place. Puked everywhere. My parents brought me to the bathroom. We were in a suite at the Joe Louis Arena. My dad had it through work or something. So that means we had food and we had a bathroom. We had some comfortable seats. My parents took me to the bathroom. I spent the entire time of the concert in the bathroom vomiting because I was so worked up. I couldn't even handle it.
Was it even like food poisoning? It was just nerves?
I think it was just nerves. I'd eaten beforehand. I think my tummy was upset because I was just like, I couldn't believe I was about to see New Kids on the Block. As I'm puking, my mom comes in at some point and says, Sarah, you got to see this. Donnie is taking his shirt off. And then she leaves the room and goes back to watching the concert. And I'll never forget that. Like, I'm like puking my guts out and sweating. And she's just like, Sarah, Donnie is taking his shirt off. You have to see this. So that was a sad night for me that I didn't really get to experience the concert. But my parents felt really bad for me. So then later, there was another concert and they brought me to that. And I actually sat through it and I didn't throw up. And their last song was This One's for the Children. The one that starts out, This is a very serious message. So everybody, please listen. It starts out with that. And they wore sparkly jackets in coordinating colors and sat on stools. And that was really important because I didn't lose any bodily fluids during that concert.
That's a good way for...
And that is the longest answer ever about why I prefer New Kids to NSYNC. Yeah.
Thank you.
But I still love NSYNC. I still love NSYNC. I still love Justin Timberlake, for sure.
So talented.
Huh? He's so talented.
Yeah.
He's so talented.
Singing, acting.
Yeah. I think he really wants to be a comedian. I think he truly does.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. That's my theory. Because he loves being funny.
Plays a lot of comedic roles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have a question about Backstreet Boys, though?
No.
Because I saw them in concert, too. At the Ionia Free Fair.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It was not great.
Oh.
Because I don't want to be insensitive, but Howie D, from very cute, very, just the sweet one, the sweet, sensitive, lovable, they're all lovable. But he was especially, he was not at the concert. He was not performing in that show because his fucking sister had lupus.
Lupus. And,
yeah. She had complications. She had some complications. She was like really sick.
She turned into a wolf?
No! Turn into a goddamn wolf.
What is lupus?
It's a blood disorder, I want to say. Oh, Jesus. What if I'm wrong and I'm just like blasting my ignorance all over the place? It's something wrong. It's a disease. And she had it. And so Howie D wasn't there. So there was a lot of, please pray for Howie D and his family tonight. We do this song, but we can't because Howie D's not here. And, you know, like, and so I felt really cheated. And I found a stuffed animal on the ground from the Ionia Free Fair after their set. And I told all my friends that Nick threw it to me from the stage. So good times at all those concerts, except for the one where I pooed my guts out. Although my mom was having a good time, so...
Yeah. I got some of them Wahlburgers.
Yes. I bet those burgers aren't that great.
They probably look good, but...
Yeah. Yeah. God, I want a burger. That sounds good. Even a shitty one sounds good.
Where is your go-to burger place?
Mr. Burger.
Oh, that's so good.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan is what I just said. Mr. Burger is the greatest, and they're turning 100. Is that right?
I don't know.
Maybe not 100. That's kind of
old.
50?
Yeah.
It's like it's their birthday. Literally, like this weekend, it's their birthday. Are you looking it up?
No,
I'm. Oh, it'd be awesome if you were looking it up.
Mute my phone.
Driving nuts.
Oh, I can.
No, but that's my favorite. That's my favorite burger.
Yeah, they've got what is it, like a double cheeseburger, fries, and a drink for like $6.
Yes, and they have if you go to the Oh, Lord. I forgot what location it is. If you go to one of the locations, there's a big hot dog that says burgers on it. And, like, I've never...
A hot dog that says
there's
burgers?
There's, like, a sign that's in the shape of a hot dog, but it says burgers. Or it says Mr. Burger.
Oh.
But they don't acknowledge that it's a hot dog. And I really like that. I think that's really... it's really, like, some conceptual... Art!
50-year anniversary.
Yeah, 50 years Mr. Burger has been in Grand Rapids.
Comes with 50% off specials August 15th to 17th.
15th to 17th. I hope everybody that's listening who's in Grand Rapids, Michigan will go take advantage of that. Because yeah,
it's a great deal.
They're good people.
Already great prices.
Mm-hmm. I like local.
Me too.
I like local. I'm just like, is this water local?
This is authentic, artisanal, Grand Rapids tap water.
That's Kent County water.
I passed it through a Brita filter, though.
You passed it?
Yep.
Oh, through a filter.
Through a filter.
I thought he meant through his penis urethra.
This is...
I really like your questions. I'm taking forever to answer them, but I really like your questions.
Thank you. Would you like the next one?
Yeah.
If you had to be transformed into an animal, which type of animal would you choose to be?
Oh, that's really hard. I'd want to be a bird. I'm really into birds. That's why I have this tattoo of my favorite birds.
Is that four birds? Five birds?
I don't know. I never learned to count.
Is that a parrot?
I never learned my numbers.
Is that a dragon?
That is a macaw. That's a crane. Hmm. These are hummingbirds. Bluebird. Toucan.
Toucan. Oh, I couldn't see the can of part
loops.
Of it.
Because of Fruit Loops.
Toucan Sam?
Yeah. I like birds. And my favorite Dimitri Martin joke is when he says that people are so weird when they see birds and they say, look at that thing that has the gift of flight. I want that.
I want to put it in
so
a
weird.
Cage.
Like, you appreciate this bird, but then you lock it up so you can look at it. Yeah, I'd want to be a bird. I would definitely be a bird.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
But I don't know what kind. I'll probably spend a lot of time thinking about that now.
Hmm.
There's probably, so I'm going to cancel work from. Tomorrow and just sit at home and just think about what kind of bird I would be. I would shit on everybody.
Yeah?
God, finally I can shit on everybody. I'm waiting for that my whole
everybody
life.
Or just like mean people? Just indiscriminate?
Oh, I mean everybody. Like every single person.
Anybody within range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess that's fair. That's egalitarian or something.
Birds don't shit. They don't shit on everybody. So like when you do it, sort of like...
A special day.
It's special. You're lucky. It's something good's happened to you that day. And I want everybody to feel lucky.
Huh.
So I'll use my shit for that. So short answer, I want to be a bird. And I lied earlier. I'm going to take a drink really quick. Some Michigan water.
Is that Flint water?
Mm-hmm.
Is that offensive? Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Ooh. No, that was Michigan water. It was really good. That was Michigan water. Tastes like home. There's no flavor like home.
You live in a juniper bush?
Yeah, thank you. That's what it's made of. Bring them on.
Okay.
I like answering questions.
What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
Of experiencing comedy? When I was a kid, I was born in Lansing, Michigan. We lived in an old house by the campus of MSU. And I had my own room. It was awesome. I have a brother and a sister. And I had a lot of trouble sleeping. I would become a very nervous kid. But during this time, I was only moderately nervous. I had a little bit of anxiety and I couldn't fall asleep very easy. So my mom, before we found out about medication and some things, my mom put a TV in my room, like a little black and white one. And it was so I could fall asleep listening to the TV because that helped me. And I would be up a little late and I would watch Saturday Night Live on the little TV, on this little black and white TV. And so I remember watching, I saw Samurai Delicatessen, John Belushi, and he scared the shit out of me. He scared me. I was like, I didn't understand that it was funny. I thought it was scary. And I remember that cast very well. And I remember I remember the feel of 1970s comedy.
Hmm.
Like, I just sort of like absorbed the feel of it a little bit, I guess. And it was scary to me. I thought it was a bunch of weird, scary people. that was my earliest memory of that. And I had a dream as a child. I talked about this at Pichacucha during Laugh Fest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that your show, a show?
No, it's a show. It's a show, and it's an international show where people tell stories.
Oh.
With some pictures behind them, and they tell a story or talk about something that's special to them. And I talked about my history of doing, of just how I became interested in comedy, I guess. And I had a dream, and I told this during it. That's what I was saying. I had a dream that me and John Belushi were in a stretch limo and we were in the back and we were eating macaroni and cheese. And that's it. I mean, that's what happened.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was very aware of John Belushi at a very young age.
Huh.
And my reaction was fright. But later on, Saturday Night Live would become like really important to me because it represented my family being together and us all agreeing that we could be up late. Like, because I wasn't always allowed to stay up that late, but I have good memories of watching the cast that featured Chris Farley, and just my family loves Chris Farley. And yeah, I think SNL had a big impact on me because it was like, you know, it was on TV, and it was on TV regularly, and so that was my first real like exposure to comedy. Yeah.
How did you first get involved in performing comedy?
I first got involved in performing comedy when I was probably 20 years old, and I used to go to an open mic here in Grand Rapids. I've been to a lot of open mics, and open mic was my first experience with our Grand Rapids scene of performance artists and poets and all different kinds of people. And I started to notice, and I loved it. I loved it. Like, I loved going every week. I loved feeling like I was a part of something really exciting that not everybody in Grand Rapids knew about, I guess. And I really loved the poetry because I've always been a writer. And so I started noticing that, like, dude, a lot of these poets sound the same. Like, we would have a special poet would come, and then the next week, everybody's poetry would sound like them, or the way everybody would talk and do their poems like this. And I'm going to sing a song now. Like, they would sound exactly like the poet that had just performed. And I was, I hadn't performed anything. I wasn't like a theater kid in school. My friends thought I was funny, but I wasn't like known as this like funny person. I started to notice the people sounded ingenuine, and I wanted to do something about that, but I couldn't do anything about it. And so I thought I would try to sound like them, but sort of as a parody. And so I started writing poetry as a response to this other poetry, and I called it poetry, like fake poetry. And
French's.
And it was more about sounding like this and pronouncing the words and blah 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 da, da. It was more about the way it was performed, where I was trying to be like, dude, you guys all sound the same. You all sound like this. And it got a good response, so I kept doing it. From then I joined a rock band. I learned to play the bass. So we did some funny songs. And I just kept on doing parodies of poets, and that was really awesome. I think what I regret is that I think I made some people feel bad. Like, I think that I hurt some feelings, and when I talk about it, I feel like a little twinge of guilt about that. Like, cause now I wouldn't want to like blatantly insult. I felt like it might have been kind of insulting to some people, but it taught me that I had an audience and that I could do the thing. Like, it taught me that I was capable of getting up and getting laughs, really. So open mics are still so valuable. Like, you can say whatever you want, and you just might discover like something that you're good at. It's exciting.
Let's talk about, that's going to be a common prompt, and there's been some confusion over it. Basically, I'm asking you to please talk about the topic that I'm going to introduce.
Okay.
So, I like the way that "let's talk about" sounds better. So, yeah. Let's talk about performing stand-up.
Performing stand-up. I have kind of a complicated relationship with stand-up, in that I hate writing it. I hate writing stand-up. Actually, truthfully, I don't like writing comedy at all. I hate writing it. I wish I could get like a writer. I would love to work with a writer, because I'd say, like, almost everything I do is I will write an outline, and then from that outline that will be a sub outline, and then another outline, until it's all at least condensed into a couple of subjects. And in speaking about the subjects, I'll remember the jokes. And but it's never come, like, sitting down and writing it has never come naturally to me. because I like, because I think that I feed off energy. Mm-hmm. I like to be in front of people. And that, I guess the feeling of being in front of people and they're expecting something. Like, I think that nervous energy is something that I really need, in performance. And I really like, improv. I prefer improv. I much prefer improv to sitting down and writing a comedy act. And lately my stand-up performances are kind of few and far between. I'd rather perform these character pieces, that are more just, you know, studies of a character, studies of just a weird person. I'm more into character jokes and developing characters than anything else. And during stand-up, there's nothing between me and the audience. It's just me. And I just think about, I'm always me. Like, I'm just like, if I'm performing, like, I want to be something outrageous and different from myself. Yeah. So while I love to watch stand-up, I've always been a fan of stand-up. I don't really consider myself to be a stand-up comic. Although sometimes, you know, sometimes you fit into that category, because of whatever shows are going on. Like, it's harder for me to explain. No, I'm this weird character. I do characters and they're weird, but then like I talk is like, it's easier to just be like, I do stand up.
When you won Best Comedian from Review Magazine in 2016, was that more for stand up or for characters?
I'm not sure. It's hard to say because I wasn't, because I didn't, like, no, I didn't tell anybody to do it. It was just sort of, it just happened. And so it's hard to say because what I found is when I run into people who remember me from something, every time it's never the same thing. Hmm. It's people have seen me in plays. People have seen me do burlesque. People have seen me do, I was in the Murder Mystery Company for 3 years. So people have seen me as different characters from that. And, oh shit, I forgot the question. I forgot what you asked. I forgot.
In 2016.
I think that the people who voted, they could have been voting for me for like a number of things. Like, it could have been anything, but I think that I do more character monologues and just kind of off the cuff character monologues and just sort of, just ad libs and, improv performances than anything else. I do way more of that than stand up. Although I would love to love writing comedy. I would really like to, but it's never been a release of any energy to me. It's never cathartic. I never laugh out loud when I'm writing comedy. I'd much rather just be on the stage and feel something and then react to that feeling. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Do I sound like an idiot?
Nope. Let's talk about performing as a character.
Mm-hmm. You just edit out this empty part.
No, that's my favorite.
Oh, you're not going to empty it out?
Those are my favorite parts.
Really?
Yep.
Long pauses?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Okay. What'd you ask me about? Sorry.
Let's talk about performing as a character.
Let's talk about performing as a character. Yes, please. Oh my goodness. Characters have always been my favorites. And I think, and just like as I said earlier, watching SNL and watching my family in particular react to certain things on SNL, I found that we all like characters. And I sort of, I'm not sure like when, but I decided like, I want to be the kind of thing that makes my family, that makes other families like my family stay up and laugh. I've been influenced a lot by characters. I love, Amy Sedaris' character, Jerry Blank from Strangers with Candy. That's a very important character to me. I've just loved every Chris Farley character that he's ever stepped into because he's just a wonderful genius to me. Very partial to Chris Farley. And I think it's easy for me to transform into something else. I really enjoy that. I like the idea of again, just embodying something else, something that's not me, to take a vacation from myself. And I, in real life, enjoy people the most who are characters, who are just like completely individual, completely original people. And I think that's something to celebrate. I think that's something to want to be like, to be a character is wonderful. All my friends are characters. Yeah.
Where did the inspiration for Rita come from?
Oh, I'm going to burp in a second. You're going to leave that in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I might boost it a little bit.
You can put an echo on it.
A reverb and auto-tune it.
Yeah. Auto-tune my burps. That'll be the rest of the show. Rita got started because I was, me and my friends in, I think, I want to say 1998, 99, we went to Circuit City to meet the boy band 98 Degrees. Do you remember 98 Degrees?
Nick Lachey, sure.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that makes my day. That makes me really happy that nobody ever fucking remembers who they are.
Mostly because of the MTV show with him and Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Being dysfunctional.
Dude, I used to watch that too. I love that shit. I love that. Yeah.
Ashley Simpson, though.
Not a fan of Ashley Simpson. No.
Even with Pete Wentz?
Especially with Pete Wentz.
Oh.
I'm not a fan of Ashley Simpson. Not a fan. Not a fan.
That's
way
fair.
More of a Jessica fan. Jessica like doesn't give a shit if you think she's stupid. She's rich as fuck. And she she's fucking gorgeous. Like Ashley seems a little bit envious of her sister, I think. She used to have a reality show too.
She's the Aaron Carter of the
Exactly.
Simpson family.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's a gorgeous woman too, but just not much of a fan. I have big opinions about early 2000s pop icons. I have big, fat, dripping opinions about them. We went to meet 98 Degrees. Our parents were really awesome. They let us skip school to go meet 98 Degrees at Circuit City. Media Play. Fucking Media Play, not Circuit City. Do you remember Media Play?
No. I remember
Circuit
City.
They're all gone. They're all gone. But we had one on Alpine. My friends worked there. So we went to go meet them, and it was this huge-ass line. It's a giant line. There's people in tents sleeping and stuff. And me and my friends actually did that. We slept. We got there early. We slept, and then we woke up and got to meet 90 Degrees. But there was some lag time, some downtime, if you will, while we were waiting for them to arrive to Media Play. So we would walk around and look at all the people who were in line, and we noticed that more than us, like we were 14, 15, more than us, there were like moms, like 30, 35, 40-year-old women who had tons of kids with them, who were not paying attention to the kids, who were wearing Nick Lachey shirts, who were just so excited. And we were like, dude, this is kind of weird. Like, this must be what most of their fans, like most of their fans are probably some older ladies. And we're just talking about them. It ended up that later on, they were playing volleyball in line. Some fucking bitch and her kids. And the volleyball hit me in the goddamn head.
Oh, no.
While we were sitting there. And the lady laughed. She's like, my child just threw a volleyball at you. She didn't say that, but she didn't have to say that. I just knew it from looking at her. And
it was in the subtext.
It was upsetting. And so later on, like we met them, very uneventful meeting them, not really, you know, they just couldn't wait to like get out of there. It's so fucking embarrassing. But I gave Drew Lachey the necklace I was wearing. I'm a 14-year-old weird kid. Like I'm a weirdo at 14 or 15. I was wearing JNCOs and shit, you know, like
the very
wide-legged pants, and I had spiky hair and just a mess.
Were you a juggalette?
No.
Okay.
Never been a juggalette, but
there's a strong association between JNCO and ICP.
I know. I want to say there were another there, but you know, I just wanted to describe the pant. the one that accurately described the pant to you. And yeah, big wide leg jeans in the photo.
Very wide. Just absurdly wide.
Unnecessarily wide. Just too wide.
Yeah.
They didn't need to be that wide.
Triple the size of a,
yeah,
a baggy
I'd
jean.
I'd say you could fit, yeah.
Or more.
Yeah. And I thought that was like the greatest look. I was like, yes, these pants. Oh, these are the pants I'm going to meet Nick Lachey and Drew Lachey. Drew is my favorite. I said, I swear to God, I took off my necklace and I'm like, Drew, I want you to have this. This is my lucky necklace. It's brought me luck. I know it will bring you luck. And he takes it reluctantly and says, oh, thank you. And he's very polite. He's very nice about it. And I want to say his name is Justin, but I could be wrong. The older.
I don't know.
Oh, I want to say it's Justin. Well, one of the members of 98 Degrees who had, I'll never forget, he had a big zit on his nose. And I just looked at the zit like, wow, you guys get zits. Hmm. He said, don't you know it's bad luck to give away a good luck charm? And I said, oh, there will be so much luck if Drew has it. Or just something just incomprehensible, like something so stupid. Afterwards, we went back to my friend's house. We're going to go see them in concert. So we go back to my friend's house and we started talking about the ladies in line and making fun of the ladies in line, we're kids, making fun of everybody that we saw. And she had some costume pieces out, like we were in her basement. So I put on the giant complimentary shirt they had given us at the meeting, at the meet and greet. It said WSNX in like some flaming letters.
Yep.
And I put that on and I stuffed it with pillows. And then I walked out and did this voice, which isn't anything like the Rita voice. It sounds like Bill Murray in Caddyshack, sort of like, hey, your dad got that going for me. Like, you know, sort of just dumb sounding. And they had a video camera and we turned on a camera and I pretended to be that bitch who let her children just fucking run around and throw balls at people. And I was known for wearing a jacket that was secondhand that had the name Rita stitched into it. And so they gave me the nickname Rita. And then that name just went to the character. And it all came together. Yeah, it's when I was a teenager. It's when I was in school. And Rita didn't get her voice that she has now. Like, Rita's voice is, hello, I'm Rita Chavanetes. This is how I talk. And it didn't sound like that back then. It didn't sound like that until about, like, 2005 or 6.
Hmm.
When I, brought her to the public. When I, like, started, yeah, embodying that character again and doing shows. And we made a movie. We made a movie.
Oh.
Called Rita and the Velvet Dance Save the World.
Is it on the internet?
It is on the internet.
What's it called?
Rita and Velvet Dan Save the World. It's directed by Dan Filicki. He's an awesome director in Grand Rapids, a good friend of mine. And it's in like 17 pieces. Like it's on YouTube. It's in a bunch of pieces. You have to watch it in pieces. But yeah, feature length film with Rita in it. And Velvet Dan was actually my ex-husband. And we used to be, he was, Rita's boyfriend. And so we did a lot of stuff together. There's a lot of videos of us together, but we are no longer. After our divorce, I told everybody, Velvet Dan died. I told everybody he died because we got a divorce. He's still alive.
Let's talk about Shimmy Shack and Super Happy Fun Time Burlesque.
Yay! Okay. Which one first? Super Happy.
Okay.
After, so from the open mic that inspired me to create parodies of poetry, which also led to me joining a rock band, led me to join a performance art troupe. That was, well, I didn't join the troupe. I joined into an event that they were planning. And they were called the X Performance Group. And they were putting on an underground sort of, they're supposed to be like a traveling medicine show with some sideshow and comedy and art and just all kinds of stuff. And I came home from work one day and my friend said, Sarah, I wrote this piece and it's it's in the show tonight, but I'm too scared to do it. He was too nervous to do it. And he asked if I would. And I told them if they, you know, get me a bottle of alcohol, that I'll do it in 20 minutes or so. And so they got me some liquor. And then they put a costume on me that they had to put it on me because it involved my hands being sort of claws. And the character was called the Bionic Vagina Biter. And the Bionic Vagina Biter was a caged sideshow creature who craved the taste of vagina and also who ate shit.
Oh.
And this was written. It was already written. I didn't write this shit, but it was already written. And so we go to this show and I'm backstage and I'm very nervous because everybody there is like, they're like performance artists and stuff. They already know what they're doing. And I basically filled in for somebody to do this. And we go out and I have a handler who is supposed to be, you know, enticing the audience, like behold my beast, the Bionic Vagina Biter. He dragged me on stage with a chain around my neck and I was just like this weird creature. And he would put food in front of me and I would eat it and just like moan and roll around and writhe. And it was really weird and really awesome. It felt awesome to do.
Was the food tacos?
No, I'm sorry. Oh. No, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
You don't have to cry about it. Are you crying right now? Are you crying? There are
allergies.
Right now?
I have allergies.
Just because I didn't. Okay, it was a candy bar. He put a candy bar in front of me to look like some shit, and I like gobbled it up. And I said, "Do you want me to do the voice?"
Yes, please.
I was this creature, and this is my first foray into performance art. And she goes, "I'm on my vagina," and that means I want my vagina. Yeah. And it was really fun. And from there, I joined what would become Super Epic Fun Time Burlesque because originally it was this group performing together doing these shows called Dr. Toledo's Traveling Medicine Show. Eventually, it changed. The cast changed, and we turned into Super Happy Fun Time. And from there, I was able to. There was so much freedom in that show that I was able to develop characters on stage. I got to do stand up. I got to do poetry. I got to do. Music. I got to sing and dance, and I just learned so much. That was where I learned the most about art and performance that I ever have. And I was in that show from 2005 to 2013. Yeah, so 8 years I was there, and it was a great experience. And from there, I got into burlesque. In that, so
what
I would do
is burlesque,
artful striptease, basically. It's been around forever and ever and ever and ever. And now they dropped the word burlesque from their name. They're actually just Super Happy Fun Time now. But back then, I started. Everybody was doing it. Everybody in the cast, and I was just the comedian in the cast. I was the house comedian was my title. And so I was in all the skits and then one day I wanted to do striptease and I started doing funny stripteases. I started doing, I'm a pig and I'm wearing a bra made of bacon and the butcher comes out and he's trying to rip my bra off and I murder him and dance on him. Like, you know, just like really silly, like weird, awesome striptease. It was really fun. I'm really grateful to have had that experience. And I met a lot of the people who I work with now there. Yeah. We toured. I toured around. I've been all around America. We went all around America doing our burlesque and our music and art. And it was great.
Nice.
And now I do shimmy shack burlesque. My girl Audacious, the vivacious Miss Audacious, we went to high school together, and we reconnected during Super Happy Fun Time. We were both performers in Super Happy Fun Time for a very long time, and 8 fucking goddamn years. And in that time, I got married and divorced. Like, it was an important period, I think. There was a time she started a small burlesque show called Shimmy Shack, and it was going to have like just a rotating cast of whoever was available to do burlesque. And we've been doing that since 2009. And so it's been going on for 8 years in Grand Rapids. And the next one is next month in September at Tip Top Deluxe Bar and Grill. And we started doing it in conjunction with Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School Grand Rapids, which we also host together. And that's a syndicated live model drawing event where we get just really awesome models. On Sunday, our model is Molly Bausma Schultz from Vox Fedora.
Blue Molly also.
Yes.
Long time ago.
Yes. And she's going to pose for us. We're going to draw pictures, and the best pictures get awarded, and it's just a really fun party. And we used to do that show and then Shimmy Shack Burlesque after it, but now we've separated those. We do Sketchies every other month, Shimmy every other month.
The next let's talk about was Dr. Sketchies.
Dr. Sketchies is this Sunday, actually. This Sunday.
So that's a syndicated live show?
Yeah, well, that's a show that's, there's branches of it. There's okay. branches of Dr. Sketchies just all over, like, Ireland and, you know, like, just random places. And you have to apply to open up a branch, and she applied and opened up this branch. I gotta find a new word other than syndicated. There's gotta be a better word for that.
Franchised?
Franchised, maybe? Perhaps.
Enfranchised?
Perhaps. If you have to apply to it. Oh, I have no idea. Dr. Sketchies, yes, that is on Sunday. And we do that at Reservoir Lounge on Plainfield. I think it's 1504 Plainfield.
Right by Creston Brewing.
Right by Creston Brewery, which Molly Bausma Schultz is actually the co-owner of. And it's really awesome. We've been doing that since 2009 also. So we've done both these shows for many years. And we're hoping more people will keep discovering it.
Reservoir has some great Cajun Creole food.
I was just there.
They still don't have air conditioning, though.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I was very comfortable there.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of windows, so it stays cool. But
yeah.
On like a really hot day, it can be a bit much.
Okay, so everybody coming to Dr. Sketchy's, wear very light clothing. Or just like, don't wear your pants. It's no big deal. I'm not going to judge you for not wearing your pants.
They have a great...
I don't know Molly, but I'm sure she'll be fine with it too. Just don't wear pants. and it's $10, and for $10 for 3 hours, you get to draw her in all kinds of poses to really fun themes, and it's hosted by funny ladies who try to make you laugh the whole time.
And they have a fantastic beer selection there.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's on Sunday, 5 to 8, 1504 Plainfield, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'll see you there. And then Shimmy Shack is next month.
Where does that usually happen?
That happens at Tip Top Deluxe Bar and Grill. And Butterworth.
B. Butterworth.
Yep, Butterworth on the west side. And I'm not sure the day, but that's going to be awesome too. If all the listeners out there, if you want to follow me on Facebook, I post about all these events all the time. Just follow me, Sarah Jean Anderson, and I'll let you know when everything's coming up. Not too long ago, somebody came up to me and they said, and I hadn't seen them in a long time, and they said something that kind of hurt my feelings. And they said, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Why aren't you performing anymore?"
Ooh.
And I wanted to be like, and I just said, "Oh, I'm still performing." You know, I told them what I had coming up, but I was like, do you think I don't? And I didn't know that something like that could hurt my feelings until I heard it. Because it's just like, oh, you're doing stuff all the time and you talk about it all the time. I had no idea. It was just sort of like discouraging to hear. I didn't know that would hurt my feelings, but it did. Because I feel like I talk about it a lot. I feel like I'm just like, I feel like when I see people, I'm like, go to this, go to this, go to this, go to this, go to this. I'll meet you at this. Like, yeah. So for everybody out there, I'm still here. Sorry. Still here in Grand Rapids. I'm really sorry. I'm enjoying myself here. I'm sorry I haven't moved away.
For watching, do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy?
Oh, it's hard to say. It's very hard to say. But, oh my God, I love improv. I love to watch improv. I love to watch really good improvisers at improv. Just because it's so damn exciting. Because you don't know what they're going to fucking do. I'd say improv is my favorite. I really love sketch comedy. I grew up watching The State on MTV with Michael Showalter, Thomas Lennon, David Wayne, just all kinds of people who are like, I consider them to be just the funniest people. I grew up on sketch comedy. I'm pretty into sketch comedy too, but there's nothing like watching a really good improv show. A really good one though.
Where everything lands.
A really good one. Yeah, there's nothing like just watching somebody's brain work is fascinating. And but at a very close second is sketch comedy, and then I'd say stand-up. Stand-up is great. It's I love it. Love to watch it. But it's not really for me. Like,
sure.
Rather do something different.
Let's talk about painting and selling art.
Oh, let's talk about that. Hey! Yesterday I had lunch with my art teacher from when I was in middle school. It was really special. Cause I've always been an artist, and I've always known that I wanted to be creative in life. And so to have like my teacher from when I was like 12, like, for her to tell me that I'm doing good is really important. Like, that's really important for me. That made me feel really good. I started drawing when I was like 5 something. One of my earliest memories is my mom was making me paste so I could make collages. Mm-hmm. And we ran out. And I asked her to make me some more, and she couldn't. And I got so mad that I threw the bowl across the room, and it shattered into a bunch of pieces. Like, I was like, ah! Like, I was like a tortured artist at, like, fucking 5 years old. And then I threw myself on the ground, and I said, there's no hope for me. Oh, no. I can't fucking believe, like, where did I even learn that from? And so I've always been an artist. I graduated high school in 2002. And I wanted to go to art school until I found out you have to do math in art school. And I was like, fuck that. I found out that you don't just do art, you do all these other things. And I was like, I don't want to do the other things. I just want to do it. But my plans were fucked when I met some guy, and I lived with him for a year and just worked at the library and painted some paintings. But then when we broke up, I started to get more serious about art. I started painting more. And wanting to expand my repertoire. Oh God, I hate myself for saying that word just now.
It's a good word.
Oh, I want to kick myself in the face for saying repertoire. It's stupid. But I want to, you know, do more. And that's when I started going to open mics and started meeting all the people who I would later learn so much from and also collaborate with. So art was always kind of, art's always been there. It's always been my steady, like, my whole life. It's been my steady form of self-expression, and I still love it. I envision myself doing it forever and selling artwork forever. I hope so. People are still buying it.
Yeah, you got third in the best artist category.
I'm the third best artist in Grand Rapids. No, I'm tied for third as the third best artist in Grand Rapids. So fuck yeah, that feels good. Like, I lost my best comedian thing, but I won third best artist. So I'm like, it's perfect. That's wonderful. That makes me happy.
That was this year?
Yep, just this year. Yeah, nice. I was really excited about that. Like, also, now I get to tell people, like, I'm the third best. Like, you tried the rest. Now try the third best. And also, my friend Kara Williams is the third best comedian in Grand Rapids. And so I feel really special about that. Could do a little three-step together. Yeah. Third is the best. No, there used to be, like, a first is first. Second is the best. Third is the nerd with the hairy chest. I picked two hairs off of my boob yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. Right?
Congratulations? I don't know.
Well, thank you. They were... I don't notice until they're long, and then I just rip them out. Right around... Girls get that. Did you know that? Girls sometimes get hair on their nipples. Get two perfectly straight hairs growing out of your nipples. Oh, okay.
To remain a mystery.
Oh, I mean, do they? I'd
like to think they don't.
I was just kidding about all that.
Yeah.
It was only on one, though. Maybe I'm a freak. But hair grows out of my boobs sometimes. It's no big deal.
Mine too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I can see your tufts from here. I can see your just... There's a haystack underneath there. Tufty Haystack. That's your new burlesque name.
Tufty Haystack?
Tufty Haystack. My name was Sarah Jean Adventure Time. Because I used to draw a little indie comic called Adventure Time with 3 exclamation points. And I would sell it out of my purse at shows when I was in a band.
Oh, nice.
And that's, I think in like 2005, 2006, I started going by Sarah Jean because there's so many Sarahs in our town that I had to, every time I met someone, I had to specify.
It's a good Christian name.
Yeah, princess. It means princess.
Oh.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I'm named after, Jesus, which one? I'm named after Sarah Smile. Sarah, smile. Oh, won't you smile a while for me, Sarah? If you feel like leaving, you know you can't go. But why don't you stay until tomorrow? Hall & Oates.
Oh.
My mom named me after that, but she didn't spell it like he spelled it.
The cereal company out by the
No! Hall & Oates.
What I want you got would not be hard to handle. Like flame to burn the candle. Huh. Gonna be the flame. Okay. Yeah, what I got,
big dog. You know what I'm talking about.
That sounds familiar.
You know Hall & Oates.
Rings a bell.
Hall & Oates. Oh, that was bad. That sounded like shit. Sorry.
Sorry, Josh.
Too sharp. Is he here?
No, but I make this podcast gonna hear for this. Him. So.
He's going to hear this.
Yeah.
He's going to hear this. He's going to hear this shit.
Oh, what I got, you got what might be hard to handle.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about...
Big dog, wrap your arms around me, because that's the way you found me. Okay, go on, sorry. I swear I'll stop.
Let's talk about the early days of Dog Story and Old Lady Monday.
Yes! Holy shit! Did you ever go to Old Lady Monday?
No.
Old Lady Monday was a show that started at Rumors Nightclub. It started at Rumors Nightclub with Jacinia Maria Sanchez and Nikki Nitro Shante. And they are these two brilliant, awesome drag queens here in Grand Rapids. And they perform regularly, so y'all go see them. You can find them at Rumors. Jacinia and Nikki, and they played Gloria and Loretta. And they were just curmudgeonly old ladies who had a lot of complaints about things and who were like straight talkers. And they were the first regular show at Dog Story. They were the first like weekly show at Dog Story. The man who's my boyfriend now, his name's Josh Fremmer. He was one of the founders of Dog Story Theater, and he saw this show and he wanted to bring them to this theater because it's something that like before you could only see at Rumors or at Diversions or wherever else there is to do drag in West Michigan. There's a few places, but you didn't necessarily see drag queens on, you know, at a theater on stage. And so we brought the show to Dog Story. And it was just so much fun because I got to be characters and I got to work with Nikki and Jacinia, who are just brilliant, brilliant drag performers. And they're so funny. And we did a lot of improv together. And this show brought other drag performers into a theater setting. And so it was awesome that it was like, it was a collaboration. It was the drag scene. It was a theater scene. And a lot of people met drag queens for the first time, just coming to Dog Story Theater. And so that was really, really great. That was a really special time in my life to be able to work with those ladies. And they taught me so much. And from there, I got involved in the drag scene. And I hosted a drag show at Diversions for 5 years. Mm. And hosted Pride a few times. And it all started with them. They introduced me to so much art here in Grand Rapids. Just a brilliant community of performers. And Rita got to do so much at Dog Story Theater in Old Lady Monday. We've done like little reunions and stuff, but like I wish more people could have seen that show. It was so much fun. Mm. It's just these two old ladies just like bitching about life, and every now and then a knock on the door and it's a visitor and they interact with the visitor, and I was really lucky and really, really happy to be one of those visitors, one of those regular visitors. Yeah. Hi, Nikki and Jasenia. Love you.
What is comedy to you?
What is comedy to me? What is comedy to me?
Mm-hmm.
What is it to me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. What? I don't know. What? That's hard for me to say. Those were the only words I could come up with to describe what comedy is.
Oh,
to me. But I know that when I something that I've always liked about comedy, and it's kind of dumb, but like I like that when people are at a comedy show and they're all laughing, they're all in the same moment. Like, and I really like that comedy. I like that comedy unifies a crowd. Like it brings them together. Just reminds people of how much we have in common with each other. To me, comedy is also just there's a lot of, oh Lord, sort of like there's a lot of relief in comedy. I find like it makes me feel good. It makes me it makes me a happier person. I think comedy is a miracle. It's a goddamn miracle what it does. It's hard to say exactly. It's hard to coin exactly like what it is to me, but to me it's joy and unity. Oh God, I sound so lame. I need to stop. I need to shut up.
No. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it brings us closer together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's even like just some very different people could finally find something that they both find really funny. And that's, yeah. So that's my answer.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Let's talk about The Nightman Cometh live and becoming Artemis.
Oh my God, let's talk about The Nightman Cometh live. Yes.
So excited.
So in my life, I've been to 4 auditions because I hate auditioning. I've also been very lucky where I get shows from other shows and I haven't really had to audition very much. But this is the first show that I've auditioned for that I've gotten the part, and I got the part that I actually wanted. And I was shocked. I was shocked at the audition when they announced Artemis and I was the only one that got up. I literally said, for fuck's sake, like nobody else wanted to read for her.
They didn't want to go up against you.
Huh?
They didn't want to go up against you.
Oh my God, shut up. Oh, come on. Come on, shut up. But she's just such a good character. Mm. I love her, Artemis Pendhabi. And I didn't even want to be anybody else. I was just like, even if Artemis has, I think she has one line. Well, she has a monologue. She has a little bit of something. I was like, I want to be her. I just want to be her. I want to feel what it's like to be Artemis. And I've always been such a fan of It's Always Sunny. There's a lot of that show that I just quote over and over and that I reference over and over. And in that show, a lot of brilliant, brilliant character work. Like, obviously, the characters are hilarious, and I'm always drawn to that. I'm so looking forward to seeing the completed thing. Because Artemis only has, I have a monologue, I get to actually watch the show.
Oh.
And so I look forward to that, because we have live music. Like, it's gonna be so just energetic, and everybody there is doing it because they want to pay tribute to this show. Like, they're doing it because they really want to do it. And I think there's something, like, really special in that, where, like, nobody, like, I don't care about, like, money or who comes. Like, I don't care about, like, if it's packed or if it's not. Like, we're just, like, super excited to do it. And that's refreshing for me. Like, that's really fun. So I can't wait. That's on Monday.
And Saturday.
Saturday. Excuse me? Monday. Then Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Okay. I'm going to wear a costume. I can't wait to be Artemis.
Ooh.
I can't wait to be Artemis. There's still tickets left for the show at the Fuse Box.
There are?
Yeah.
It's close to sold out, though.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Maybe they'll add a third show?
Maybe later that night. I highly recommend people go to shows at the Fuse Box. They're always, always good shows. And there's always... It's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a comedian?
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Fuck!
Uh-oh.
What is it? I don't! What was the question? I'm sorry. Say it again.
What?
Can you say it again in a funny voice?
What does it mean to be a comedian?
And the comedians are necessary to sort of reflect things back to the world. We'll absorb, you know, the bad news and the negativity, and filter it all out in this very specific comedic filter, and put it back into the world. I feel like we're being a comedian to me is being a really good filter for just, like, information and bullshit that happens in your life. Rerun it through a filter that finds the unifying aspect, and shines light on how similar we are. And I'm sure I sound like a huge fucking douchebag, but what I'm saying in my head makes a lot of sense, but I probably sound like a douchebag trying to explain it.
No, nope.
It's hard to say.
To negate your premise, but I think that's a good analogy.
What?
Filtering.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Maybe kind of like an oyster filtering the ocean to form a pearl.
Shut up. That's a beautiful analogy. Exactly. Exactly. Take everything in, sort of run it through a filter and present it in this new way. I love being a comedian. I love it very much.
What is the best gift that you have ever received?
Oh my God. I've had so many good gifts given to me. When I was in high school, my family was kind of poor. I went to a rich high school, poor family. And I remember telling my friends that I didn't get a yearbook. I just didn't, like, I didn't order one. I also didn't want to ask my parents for money for it, you know? And they made me one. They, like, made me my own yearbook of my specific year, and they gave it to me on the day that yearbooks came out. And that was really, really, really amazing. That was an amazing gift. But I've also gotten, you know, my first sex toy ever. I've been gifted my first dildo ever. And that was really important too. That changed
the way I do things.
That was really important to get. I'm a sucker for a good gift. Like, if I cry when I get a good gift. On my birthday a few years ago, I was at Grand Rapids Soul Club. Do you ever go to Soul Club at Pyramid Scheme?
Oh.
It's just really fun. Soul music, DJs, dancing. It's really fun at Pyramid Scheme. Every now and then they do that. And it was my birthday. I got my nipples pierced that day. That was a gift. That was a great gift. Until they got infected and I had to get them removed. Never go to a place on your birthday that says buy one, get one free nipple rings on your birthday. Never, ever, 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 ever do that. Cause it's a fucking disaster and they'll be crooked and then they'll get infected and you'll have to get them taken out. But that day was awesome. I was as I got drunker at Soul Club, I kept showing everybody like, I have a nipples pierced, look. And I started off as really discreet. Like, come into the bathroom, I'll show you my nipple. But then towards the end of the night, I was like, nipples! That was a great gift. But later that night, my friend came from Dr. Grin's, and he had just seen Tom Green, and he gave me Tom Green's autograph for my birthday. And he talked to Tom Green about me. That was an awesome gift, too. Hmm. Yeah. I have a lot of really thoughtful people in my life. I'm really lucky to have some really thoughtful people who give me gifts that like make me pee my pants and scream. I always scream when I open a damn gift. Loud as fuck when I open a gift. No matter what it is.
What is the best gift that you have ever given?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's so hard to say. That's hard to say. I do a lot of paintings for people. I do a lot of paintings, a ton of paintings. For people's birthdays and for holidays and stuff. My friend, Audria, who I do Dr. Sketchies and Shimmy with, who I was also in Super Happy Fun Time with, who I also went to school with. She's a good friend of mine. We were just together drinking gin and tonics earlier. For her birthday, I gave her a mug that I had made with a phrase that she likes to say. And it was a stripper never forgets. And so I got her a mug that was a stripper never forgets. And it made her squeal really, really loud. And she has like a great, just beautiful laugh. And when I hear that laugh, it's like, oh, I did good. I got that laugh. And so I really like to personalize stuff and make personal gifts. Yeah, I'd say that mug, that the way she laughed made me like so damn happy. So that was probably my favorite thing that I ever gave.
Thank you. I don't understand the context for this one. There's a chance I might be getting trolled.
Oh, no. Tell me.
Let's talk about the Chinese People.
The Chinese People! It's my band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my band. I've been in the Chinese People since 2006, I think. But we started performing a little bit later, maybe 2007. God, I need to learn the dates when I started fucking doing shit. Like, I'm so bad at it.
Write it down in Google Calendar.
Huh?
Write it down in Google Calendar.
I just don't remember things. Like, Okay, the Chinese People is my band. And we started, remember I mentioned earlier I was in a rock band. I played the bass. That rock band.
Bass guitar?
The bass guitar, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, play the bass.
I wasn't sure electric if it was bass. A quartet or something.
No, it was just a straight up, like, rock band, just indie rock and stuff, and we wrote our own songs, and we did a fucking Green Day cover, but it was really fun. It was really great. And that band, from there, me and my best friend Jan Griffith, at the time he was, I think, a programmer at YCE, also just a poet, performer. He's awesome. He inspires me so much. We split off from that band, which is still exists. We split off from that to form an electronic project, and we couldn't find a name for it. We found a band name generator, and we generated all these names, just random names, and the one that we chose was the Chinese People, because out of everything it made us laugh the most. We were just like, we're not Chinese people, we're just these white folks, like but it was randomly generated. And what's interesting about the Chinese People is that we've played a bunch of shows over the years. Like, we still play. We played this year. And I was at Mulligan's, and the bartender said, oh, you're that racist band, aren't you? You're that racist band. And I was like, no! Not that racist band! So we've discussed in the past, like, me and Jan have discussed changing our name to the Chinese Food People. just so people don't think we're racist. Like, we're not fucking racist.
You're not appropriating cultures?
Huh?
You're not appropriating cultures?
No, it has nothing to do with Chinese people. Like, we don't, like, our songs are about snacks, butt sex. Like, you know, it's nothing, there's nothing to do with Chinese culture. So we may work on that. We may work on that someday. Maybe adding food in there. But we started off with a song called Homos Are Our Friends. It's a really cute song about homos, how they're our friends. And that became part of the soundtrack to a musical we did at Wealthy Street Theater.
Mm.
That was for one night only. That was the music of the Chinese people. And the play was called The Gay Jesus Musical. And it was a scenario of what if Jesus was gay? And what would happen? And the Chinese people did all the songs for that. We sort of started just writing. He started just writing whatever, and I would write whatever, and we would turn it into songs. And that's just like still our philosophy. It's just like, what'd you write? And we just make it work. It's gone through a couple lineups because first we had, I was married. I was married. And so my ex-husband was in the group, but not anymore. It's just me and Jan now. And we still perform every now and then. We have a thing where we don't practice. he like lives on the road. He works on the road, and I'm always doing other stuff. And so we don't get together regularly for rehearsals. So we've decided that's our thing. We don't rehearse. So when we do, it's awesome. Like when we do, our shows are really great. But yeah, that's my band. Our original name was Protection Button, because that was the one that we also liked from this crazy, stupid, long list of dumb names. And it turned into the Chinese people because we were like, that's our name. That's perfect. It makes no sense. We tried to add a backstory to it because at first it was going to be a concept album, a concept band. And our friend Brent Braspinix was in it. He moved away. But we all just took turns writing just writing weird songs and playing little children's instruments. And it was a very unique band. And we're still doing the songs that we've done for 10 years. Like we're still doing our songs from the Gay Jesus musical. And every time we perform, we add a new song. That's how we manage our library of hits. And now he goes on the road for work, and he does open mics as the Chinese people, and we're getting a good response in other places too, like, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's my band. You weren't just trolled. It wasn't just like a joke. Although it is. It's just like a big, funny, hilarious, fucked up band. The Chinese people.
I didn't have time to Google it ahead of time, so I wasn't sure of the context.
That's okay.
I'll Google
it's
it
my
after.
Band.
Who?
Listen to Homos Are Our Friends.
Okay. Is that that's on YouTube?
We have a, oh God, we have a
Reverb Nation.
I have a Reverb Nation account. I have our Chinese people songs on there. We also have some music videos on YouTube. If you type in the Chinese people. Our favorite moment was in 2015 when we opened for David Liebehart from Tim and Eric. That was really awesome. I feel like we were a good match. so we
play shows if you want to book us.
I got to pee so bad.
We got 5 more questions, or do you want to stop and then...
Can I pee really quick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love answering your questions.
I love asking you my questions.
I love answering them.
Next question. Who are some of your role models?
Oh, my role models. Oh, that's wonderful. That's hard to say, but I can tell you some people that I strongly admire. I strongly, strongly admire. I love I love very much Sarah Silverman. I truly, truly love Sarah Silverman very much. And here's a fun fact. My friend Rachel, who taught me performance and theater, she went to school with Sarah Silverman. She went to college with Sarah Silverman and tells me stories about her. And I absolutely, I adore her. I love Amy Sedaris. I love female comics who are ballsy and who don't give a fuck. I love that. Those are my damn role models. I want to be a strong, consistent, loud voice, like these women are. I also really love very much Maya Angelou. Because when I started to read poetry when I was a sad kid, I got into Maya Angelou and like I read all her books and she's just brilliant, brilliant writer, badass. One of the first women who I remember being like just very inspired by was Maya Angelou. I've always admired artists, singers, writers, poets, comedians. Yeah. So my role models are women who fucking speak their mind and don't give a shit about what you think. I really admire that. Because I have some nervousness sometimes about speaking my entire truth, I guess. And I really admire comics who can just do it. And I want to be like that. I want to be like that. When I grow up. I'm fucking 33 right now.
Me too. What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids? And what do you like to order there?
Okay. I like Taqueria San Jose. Mm. My favorite thing to order there is beef tacos. I love their tacos so much. They have delicious tacos. I really love Pita House. I always get a falafel pita there.
The one in Easttown?
Easttown, yes. Again, Mr. Burger. I love Mr. Burger. Mm. And it's their birthday, their 50th birthday on August 15th. You should go there. Many locations. I love Curry Kitchen. Indian food Fulton restaurant
by Little Africa.
Yes, right across the street from Little Africa, which is also amazing. Mm-hmm. Always love Little Africa. Oh my goodness, and I love Beijing Kitchen on State Street. They're Chinese.
Dog Story.
Yep, right by Dog Story. I love that. Especially it might have started when I started doing shows at Dog Story. Like we would go next door and get Chinese food, and it was always really awesome. There's so many restaurants I like. I like Uncle Cheetah's.
Soup Shop?
Yes, very much. Wealthy
by Wealthy Theater?
Yes, exactly. Amore Trattoria?
Never been there. I've only heard great things.
Jenna Archidiacomo is amazing, and she's a brilliant artist as well as a brilliant chef. And so I love really, really good Italian food. My favorite pizza in Grand Rapids is from Vinny's on the west side.
Hmm.
Vinny's. Not sure what street it's on. But just a little place, and that's my like go-to. I'm trying to think of like every place I eat anything at. but those are my favorites. Yeah, those are my favorite ones. Please go to Curry Kitchen and get some chicken sag and some samosas. They're good people over there.
What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
My favorite thing about performing comedy is getting laughs. It's my favorite thing. My favorite thing is to watch somebody just be like just the throes of joy from something that you said. It's just like it's still amazing to me when I get laughs, and it still feels like. There's no other feeling like making a room full of people laugh, like a room full of people all do the same thing because you're in the room. It's very powerful, really, really good feeling. It also makes me feel pretty good when I feel like I'm speaking something that is truthful to me and that other people recognize that they get it. You know what I mean? That somebody else gets what I'm trying to say. And not only do they get it, but they think it's funny. That's just very, great. So for the response, I do it definitely for the response of the audience. Love my audiences. I love you.
What is your favorite thing about watching comedy?
My favorite thing about watching comedy is that it's because it's unexpected. I like not knowing what's going to happen. And that's why I like to watch an improv show, because you have no idea what's going to happen. And there's a lot of excitement in that lack of knowing. I forgot the question, because I was just thinking about...
Favorite thing about watching comedy.
Oh, about watching comedy. I like to laugh and I like to feel good. I like to forget about everything else in the world, except for what I'm watching and what I'm agreeing with and just laughing at. I love to laugh until it hurts. Really, really, really do. I love that feeling of you can't breathe because you're laughing too hard. And I would love to feel that feeling all the time. The breathless, just hopelessly joyful. Hopelessly joyful. That makes no sense, but that's the name of this episode of the podcast.
Episode 7 with Hopelessly Joyful.
The hopelessly joyful Sarah Jean Anderson.
I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to our webmaster about that.
Jake.
Kevin. It's me.
Oh, I'm just Nick. No.
I used to have interns, but they all ended up quitting or getting fired. Them? And no.
You just winked at me.
What?
No, I saw you wink. Oh. As if you maybe really did murder him.
No.
You just winked with your other eye, really obviously.
Sometimes.
At me. And you have your
tick sometimes.
And you have your fingers crossed.
How'd you see that?
I'm looking right at you. Inches from your fingers. Anyway, I think you're just lying about the murder thing, but we can move on from that. That's another episode, some other day, the murder thing.
That's a different podcast entirely.
Probably a different podcast. Yeah.
Final
murderer.
Final.
You killed him. Go on.
The final question of the interview portion of the show. If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Poor 16-year-old Sarah. 16-year-old Sarah. wearing your wide-legged jeans with your spiky hair, listening to Real Big Fish and Mustard Plug, and piercing yourself with safety pins when you could easily just go to a place. It gets better. Little Sarah Jean, I know that you're pretty, as a 16-year-old, you're going through a lot, and you may think that life is a pile of shit that just gets worse. But I promise you, in just a few years, you will meet people who really understand you and who like you for who you actually are, and you will discover the thing that you will continue to be living for, and that is art, and that is performance. And I love you very much. I'm really sorry that you're sad. Being 16 is really hard, but everything's going to be so good in just a few years. So hang in there, kid.
And I haven't had time yet to set up a transition into the break. So if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of musical or other type of performance, and then ring the bell when you're done to let me know to stop it, please.
Okay. Happy V-Day, bitch. This is a poem. Happy V-Day, bitch. Didn't I fuck you before? Didn't I know your name once? Guess I don't know it no more. Didn't you work at that one place with that one girl who we both knew? Didn't you give me snaps for doing the shit she won't do? Didn't you drop me a 20 and say, work a jerk a back a twerk boo? You make it work, boo. Get your band-aids and your back teen for your peen, because I'll hurt you. Didn't you roll in here with magnums? And I was like, man, you think you're crazy trying to impress me with that shit, but that shit just do not faze me. Don't shock and amaze me. Don't. Fuck. Oh. I don't remember the rest. Half of a poem. Half of a poem for you!